Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Welcome to Aaron Menke's Cabinet of Curiosities, a production of iHeartRadio and Grim and Mild.
Our world is full of the unexplainable. And if history is an open book, all of these amazing tales are right there on display, just waiting for us to explore. Welcome to the Cabinet of Curiosities.
Salem has a long and notorious past with witches. The infamous Salem witch trials saw hundreds of innocent people, including children as young as 4, accused of cavorting with the forces of darkness. And contrary to popular belief, they were not burned at the stake. Rather, they were hanged for their alleged crimes. Despite their novelty over the past 330 years, the Salem witch trials only lasted for 1 year, between 1692 and 1693. Or did they? Sometime later, a panic gripped the Salem area. According to the newspapers, this small American town had become ground zero for a new threat. The devil had come to Salem, and a warlock was responsible. A local farmer named Jacob Culp suddenly found himself mired in controversy. Jacob had come to America from Germany, and he was described by the press as a quiet, unpretentious individual. His mother had recently passed away, and Jacob was at her funeral when he noticed his relatives were acting strange. He tried asking them what was wrong, but every person he spoke to simply turned away without a word. They could barely stand to look at him. Several days later, he spoke to a reverend at his local church about why his family had been shutting him out. At first, the reverend refused to say anything, but eventually, he let Jacob know what was going on. His relatives had accused him of being a wizard. But this farmer wasn't about to hop a train to a magic school inside a castle. Instead, he would be subjected to a battery of questions and examinations thanks to Sadie and Fanny Loop, his sisters-in-law. Their mother, Lydia, had fallen ill. The doctors couldn't make heads or tails of her condition, and none of their treatments were working. So her daughters sent for Dr. Peter Burns, a local physician known as the powwow doctor. He examined Lydia and told the girls that a close relative had bewitched her. He recommended that they get a second opinion from another doctor, a guy named Andrew Hoff. Hoff was a 77-year-old physician who confirmed Burns' diagnosis. Jacob had been perverted by an evil power. He advised the family not to look the man in the eyes or get too close to him, doctor's orders, lest they wanted to find themselves under his spell. Within a year, Hoff promised that he would expel the devil from the farmer's body. So, why had Sadie and Fanny accused their brother-in-law in the first place? Well, the answer is a bit of complicated family life. Jacob had been married to Sadie's aunt Hannah until her untimely death. After she was gone, he wed her niece, Hattie, who happened to be Sadie's sister. Apparently, Sadie had given birth to a son out of wedlock several years prior, and it was believed that Jacob was the father of that child, but no one could prove it. On top of all of that, Jacob had done well for himself in business, much more so than the rest of the family, and they resented his success. So the Loop sisters and their husbands accused him of hypnotizing his neighbors in order to steal from them. And to make matters worse, they also claimed that he had performed black magic on animals. Soon after the accusations started to fly, Lydia Loop passed away, and her daughters took their claims to the church. They presented their case to Homer B. Shelton, their class leader, as well as others in the congregation. And the church did what it always did with accusations of witchcraft in the community. They put the accusers on trial instead. That's right. Rather than put Mr. Culp on trial for being a wizard or a warlock, the Hearts Methodist Episcopal Church turned the tables on the Loops for their greedy and immoral attempts to discredit an honorable man. Sadie, Fanny, and the rest of the family were all expelled from the church the following January, while Jacob Culp was found innocent of all charges. A surprising turn of events, given Salem's history with accusations of witchcraft. But this situation was different for a few reasons. You see, the witch trials of Salem, Massachusetts did end in 1693, but this particular trial occurred in 1894 in Salem, Ohio.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
This episode is sponsored by Intuit. Here's a story for you. Once upon a time, a young woman was haunted by the ghosts of bad financial decisions, with credit card debt and an empty savings account looming over her every day. But when she tried to ignore these ghosts, they only grew bigger and scarier, and these ghosts of her bad financial decisions were stopping her from living her best life. So she decided to face them head on and take control of her finances with help from Intuit. Intuit helps you face your financial fears with confidence through products like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. Whether you're trying to manage your money or trying to run a business, Intuit gives you the confidence to take control of your finances so you can live your best life. Intuit is the financial platform that helps everyday people prosper. Intuit has helped 100 million people live their best financial lives. Visit Intuit.com, Intuit.com. to start living yours. Let's get into it. In southern New Mexico, in the Hembrio Basin, there is a small mountain, only about 5,500 feet high. It's called Victorio Peak, and looking at it, you might not think it's much. It's made up mostly of rocks, sagebrush, and rattlesnakes. But Milton Ernest Noss, better known as Doc, had found a lot more than just a bunch of rocks and dirt. He'd come from Oklahoma to seek adventure in the open Southwest, marrying a woman named Ova Babe Beckworth in 1933 before planting his feet in Hot Springs, New Mexico for good. 4 years later, in November of 1937, Doc was on a hunting trip with his wife and a few friends. Now, accounts differ depending on who is telling the story, but one version claims that as the group set up camp at the base of Victorio Peak, Doc set out on his own to continue the hunt. He hiked up the mountain in search of deer until the skies suddenly opened and it started to rain. So he sought out refuge beneath a large ledge near the top of the peak. And as he waited for the weather to change, he looked down at his feet. There was a large rock, one that appeared to have been touched by human hands. So he crouched down and he tried to move it, but it was too heavy. So instead, he dug around it until he was able to get his fingers underneath. Then he heaved it out of the way. It had been blocking a hole in the ground, one that seemed to go on forever. Doc looked inside and saw what he thought was a mine shaft. So when the rain stopped, he ran back to his wife to tell her what he had found. They didn't share their news with the rest of the group, though. Instead, he and Babe came back a few days later alone to explore the shaft. Armed with ropes and flashlights, they rappelled down roughly 60 feet until they found themselves in a small antechamber. The walls of the room were covered in drawings, perhaps painted by a local Native American tribe long ago, and there was another narrow shaft that kept going down into the mountain. By the time they'd reached the end, they had descended another 186 feet. The pair entered a massive cave, about 2,700 feet long, where Doc immediately noticed a human skeleton. Considering the tunnel was man-made, perhaps one of the workers had died during the dig. Except this skeleton was on its knees and had been tied to a stake in the ground, and its hands were tied behind its back. And it wasn't the only one. In total, there were 27 human skeletons in the Victorio Peak. Well, 27 that Doc Noss had found, at least. He and his wife, though, pressed on, deeper into the cavern, and those skeletons gave way to treasure. Gold coins, jewelry, statues, and historical objects, including a solid gold statue of the Virgin Mary. There was also a pile of letters, dated as recently as 1880, but Victorio Peak still had more to offer, because beyond that treasure room there were stacks of iron bars, thousands of them. Well, that's what Doc thought at first. Each bar weighed as much as 40 pounds, and after careful inspection, it was Babe who realized that they weren't iron at all. They were gold. thousands of bars of gold just sitting in the middle of a mountain in New Mexico. Who had put them there, and why? Well, Doc wasn't going to wait around to find out. He started filling his pockets with whatever he could carry and climbed back out to the surface with Ova. Together, they set up camp near the entrance to the cave and spent the next few years hauling out bars of gold, jewelry, and anything else they could get their hands on. But the story doesn't end there. In 1939, Doc tried to make a wider opening to get the treasure out more easily. Instead, he accidentally caused a cave-in and blocked off all access for good. He worked for 9 long years to sell those 200 gold bars that he and Babe had managed to smuggle out, but had no luck. Not until he met a man named Charlie Ryan in 1948. Ryan agreed to buy 51 of those bars. But there was something about this Ryan guy that rubbed Doc the wrong way. So rather than sell the gold, Noss and a buddy buried it in a new hiding spot instead. Well, Ryan didn't like being given the runaround, so he confronted Doc the next day with a gun. Noss tried to get away, but he couldn't outrun a bullet. Ryan shot and killed him where he stood. Babe and her children worked for the next 3 years to try and clear out the rocks blocking the entrance to the cave, but they were only 12 yards from the main cavern when their efforts were halted. The U.S. Army had commandeered the land around Victoria Peak for missile testing and kicked Babe and the Noss family out for good. Of course, rumors of the treasure started floating around among the troops, and they decided to finish what the Nosses had started. Pretty soon, the soldiers struck gold, literally. But rather than let them keep it for themselves, the army set off dynamite to block access to the treasure permanently. Since then, others, including Babe Noss, have tried to find their way back into the cave to claim the rest of the treasure, but to no avail. As far as the rumors and legends will tell us, that treasure is still there today, waiting to be found. Maybe Nicolas Cage is available to take on the job.
I hope you've enjoyed today's guided tour of the Cabinet of Curiosities. Subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts or learn more about the show by visiting curiositiespodcast.com. This show was created by me, Aaron Mankey, in partnership with How Stuff Works. I make another award-winning show called Lore, which is a podcast, book series, and television show. And you can learn all about it over at theworldoflore.com. And until next time, stay curious.